The gift of new life, of eternal life, is the gift of the risen Christ. It is the promise of Jesus. It was true for Dorcas and Joppa. It is true for those who have come out of the great ordeal in the Revelation vision. It is true for us and for all the baptized. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Gathered to worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand if you are able for opening hymn, Good Christian Friend.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the
Thank you. first reading is from Acts 9, verse 36 through 43. In this reading, Dorcas kind of reminds me of the quilters here at Christ Lutheran. Let's see if you get the same connection. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her and later laid her in the upper room, since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples who heard Peter was there sent two men to him with this request, "Come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing their tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. Peter asked them to go outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes and said to Peter, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints, the widow, Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. We'll read Psalm 23 responsively by verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along the right pathway for your name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. The second reading is from Revelation 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated at the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me and saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who came out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them down, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long? How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Christ our risen and living Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit our empowerer. Amen. Jesus states a fact in the gospel reading for today. I'm not sure what kind of emotion goes with it, but in his conversation with the Jews that are circling him in the temple, sounds like a pack of wolves going in for the kill. He just simply says, "I have told you, but you did not believe me." Don't actions speak louder than words? What have my actions told you? To tell you the truth, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. You will never believe. I can talk until I'm blue in the face. You have already made up your mind. You are not interested in getting to know me. We're not going to be friends. We're not going to have a relationship. And you need a relationship with me to trust and believe what I say, where I come from. Or in first century terms, you're not my sheep. I'm not your shepherd. On these Sheep Shepherd Sundays, it's always a good idea to remind ourselves just what a sheep-shepherd relationship looks like. I learned a few new things about sheep this week. I learned sheep are about as vulnerable and dependent as a newborn baby. They cannot defend themselves against predators. They have no fangs to fight back with, no claws, and they can outrun. They run faster than a human being, but not a wolf. When attacked, they simply panic. And I look at that and I think that is an understandable reaction. When you don't have teeth and you can't outrun your predator, you are completely vulnerable. They have been known to give themselves heart attacks, whether or not the danger is real. They just have to believe it's real. And I learned that sheep are afraid of water. Today, Psalm 23 was read once again, and there's good reason a good shepherd leads them to still water. In other words, no waves. Sheep can't swim. They're covered in wool. What happens to wool when it gets wet? It soaks up the water. And sheep sink and drown. I learned that if they get stuck on their backs, they can't roll over. They need a shepherd to come along and pick them up and put them back on their feet. I learned that they also need to be led to green pastures, because they will eat a pasture down to the roots of the grass, and kill the pasture. You better believe such a defenseless creature learns quickly to recognize the voice of the shepherd. Their lives depend upon it. When you think about it, a shepherd is a lot like a parent, a mom or dad. They are as dependent upon the shepherd as a newborn upon his or her parents. They learn to recognize the shepherd's voice. They learn to depend upon him or her. Trust. Our ability to trust develops within the first six weeks of life. Those first 6 weeks of life when we are totally dependent upon mom and dad for our very lives. When all we can do is sleep and eat and dirty our diapers and cry. I think it's built into our very DNA that mom and dad think that baby is just the most adorable little person in the world. Because if mom and dad were not there to feed us, to change our diapers, to hold us, to calm our fears, to make us feel safe, to love us, to help us learn to trust, we would not survive. They have learned that there's something built into a mother's DNA, that when they hear their child cry, their stomach kind of tightens up, and they have got to answer that cry. They have learned that a baby learns to recognize the voice of its mother 10 weeks before it's even born. I remember when Matt was born, I talked and that little baby turned his head to my voice. All that built into us so that trust is possible, so that survival is possible. So that trust in the Good Shepherd, in a loving God, is possible. And despite all that trust established early on in life, we all go through those terrible twos. Terrible because we're becoming little persons with minds of our own. No, I don't want to go to the grocery store. I don't want to sit in the cart. I don't want to buy groceries for an hour and not move around and play. And I am going to make your life miserable. I'm going to cry. I'm going to make you regret that I brought you here. The terrible twos. When their favorite line is, I do and know. When they're trying to grow up and do things on their own. When you talk to them and they won't look at you when you're talking to them because they figure if they don't look at you, if they don't see you, they don't have to listen. The terrible twos. As far as a relationship with God can go into our 20s and 30s and 40s. Lord, I don't need you in my life. I can do it all on my own. I can take care of myself. Thank you. And then we move into the middle school years. They start out pretty good in sixth grade. Kids still love mom and dad, listen to them for the most part. Then puberty hits, and mom and dad become total idiots and embarrassing, and the eyes roll when they speak, and they exist just to ruin our fun. 13, 14 years of life under our belts, we figure is enough to know it all. That too can happen in our relationship to God, to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Good shepherds look a lot like parents, like mothers, like fathers. Kids get smarter by the time they're in their late teens. They're back to trusting and realizing that maybe mom and dad are smarter than they gave them credit for. Maybe, just maybe, they know something about life. If children and adults are lucky, their relationship moves beyond that child-parent relationship into friend-friend. A lot of times in the late teens and 20s. And they discover they enjoy one another's company. They enjoy the people they are or are becoming. Hopefully this too is true of our relationship with the Good Shepherd, with our parent, God. I gotta tell you, Sophie used to love spending time with Grandma during the summer. And if at all possible, during Christmas break, they would play game after game of Yahtzee. But Sophie's favorite part was going to coffee with Mom's church friends and the women Mom went to nursing school with. One lunch in particular, Sophie said she laughed so hard she cried. That lunch lasted 3 hours, and those women told story after story about their school days and their lives. And Sophie said she just appreciated their honesty. She decided that older women are some of the smartest, wisest people around. Question, how many of you saw the last Avenger movie, Endgame? You guys see it yet? You saw it? Chris saw it? Anybody else? You were part of the $1.1 billion taken in last weekend? I went to it with Luke and we laughed at certain parts. And I watched that movie and I thought, this is so well written. In the last movie, all the Avengers could not defeat Thanos, and he is successful in wiping out half the universe's population. The movie begins 5 years later, and you see the pain that everyone left behind is experiencing. The pain of losing those relationships with people they loved and they cared about. And we see Thor, the god of lightning and thunder. The god who's incredibly buff and strong, blonde, blue-eyed. He's lost his home planet. He's lost everything. What's left of his people have resettled in Norway. We get introduced to Thor, who's been spending the last 5 years drinking beer and playing video games. And buff Thor now has a beer belly. And he has put on weight, 50, 60, 70 pounds. He's Thor, so he's not going to listen to anybody. But he does join the Avengers. To defeat Thanos, they go back in time. And Thor sees his mother. And feels a need to speak to her. She sees him and knows immediately he's from the future, that he has experienced failure like he has never experienced before. And she speaks the words he needs to hear. And he needs to hear them from the one he truly trusts and knows loves him unconditionally. She knows the truth about her son, that he's a bit arrogant. But she tells him that what he is experiencing is teaching him humility. We all fail at one time or another. We all make mistakes. Learn from it. Grow from it. Become more of who you are and move on. And we know that Thor will heal because he heard that word from his mother. The good shepherd is hoping for that same kind of relationship with us, a relationship that begins at birth and continues throughout life, a relationship that trusts and believes his words, his love for us. I got a sweet Mother's Day card from my daughter, and I'm going to read it, because on this Mother's Day, Jesus is hoping that we feel the same way about him. I want you to know that when I am successful, when I feel good about myself, when I overcome something that is daunting to me, when I dream big and then dream bigger, it's because I feel your strength inside of me. When I look into my own eyes, I see you looking back at me with love. I am so happy and thankful to be myself in this world. And I want you to know that I see all that you had to sacrifice, all the things you had to do so I could become me. And I realize that I wouldn't be me if you hadn't been you. I want you always to know that I love you, and I'm so grateful. You're my mom. Today we can be thankful that we have a shepherd like Christ. A shepherd like Christ who loves us, who cares for us, who is willing to do anything, anything for the sake